In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tom Woods Show, episode 311. I thought I would round out the year with a short episode on becoming a better writer. And yes, this is the last episode of the year. I take a little hiatus at the end of each year. This is the second year of the show, and this is the second time I've done this. So we're going to come back next year, January 5th, 2015. So taking a couple weeks off for refreshment and relaxation, and just to have that little bit of extra free time, which when you're balancing as many things as I am, really makes a lot of difference. So I hope you guys have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll resume this on January 5th. But in the meantime, I thought I would share a few thoughts on becoming a better writer, which is not an easy thing to do, by the way. This is not something where you can read a book and you automatically become better. Now, some of you know I'm interested in chess, and you can improve in chess by reading a book. You can't necessarily become a grandmaster that way, although playing over a whole lot of grandmaster games can, with annotations, can indeed help you, but you can get better by reading a book. As a matter of fact, I think it was in the 1990s. I didn't play very much, but I was sick and tired of being slaughtered every time I played. So I said, I'm going to sit down with a book and get good at this game because I'm embarrassed. And sure enough, I don't even remember which book it was now that I think about it. But by the end of reading it, I was a much better player. But with writing, I don't think that's the case. I've seen books on writing, but I feel like writing is an instinct. Being a good writer requires practice, and it requires exposure to good writing. There really is no substitute for that. There is no mechanical formula to make you a good writer, or everybody would be a good writer. There's no substitute for just doing it over and over and over again. So the first piece of advice I give people when they say they want to improve as writers is you have to read good writing yourself. Murray Rothbard also gave this advice. You have to read good writing, and you have to read good writing for two reasons. The first is, when you read good writing, you begin to get an instinct for good writing. You begin to appreciate what good writing is. And when you know what good writing looks like, you're more likely to produce good writing yourself. But secondly, reading good writing makes you painfully aware of bad writing, namely your own. When I look back at things I wrote in the early 1990s when I was an undergraduate, some of it holds up sort of okay, but some of it is kind of embarrassing. It was written in a very sledgehammer style with no subtlety at all, no style at all. Just not good. Not good. But one of the reasons I'm able to appreciate how bad my earlier writing was is that I've been exposed to an awful lot of good writing in the interim. And I know what good writing looks like, and that ain't it. So what do you do? How do you get acquainted with good writers? I mean, you got to pick out a few writers and just read as much as you can by those people. Rothbard always recommended reading H.L. Mencken. And yeah, Mencken wrote these devastating sentences. And there wasn't one unnecessary word or one misplaced word, or one word that hadn't been fully considered. Every bit of it is beautiful. Devastating. You don't want to be on the wrong side of a Mencken denunciation, I'm telling you that. But you don't have to read Mencken, although it's a good idea. You can find anybody you know to be a good writer, and I will just give you an example. Thomas Sowell is a very good writer. Now, I know Thomas Sowell is not good on foreign policy, and that is not a small thing. I get that. But I'm not asking you to adopt his views on foreign policy. I'm telling you that if you read his articles, you will become a better writer. And I will link on the show notes page to an archive of his writings. And the show notes page, of course, will be tomwoods.com/311. So check him out. Read his articles regularly. Read as many of them as you can. And you will find yourself becoming a better writer. And the reason is that when you sit down to write, you will or should be thinking to yourself, would Thomas Sowell have written this drab, pedestrian sentence? No, not in a million years. So crumple it up and start again. Now, it's true that if you observe that method to a T, you'll never write anything. But at least it makes you aware that you have work to do. It makes you aware that a sentence is something to be crafted. Now, if you are not noticing a major difference between your writing and the writing of somebody like Sowell, then keep on reading Sowell, because your instinct for good writing has not yet been properly honed. You should keep reading good writers until, and I'm going to be blunt about this, until you are embarrassed by your writing. Then you are on the way to improvement when you see that your writing is terrible. I'm just going to be perfectly blunt about it. Most people are terrible writers. I was a terrible writer to start with. In fact, the person who did the most to improve my writing was my 11th grade teacher, Mrs. Hannum. I don't even know if she's still alive. She taught at North Andover High School in North Andover, Massachusetts. And she gave me bad grades on my writing. Now, I was Mr. Smarty Pants. I think I had a semester where I got A pluses in everything. But when I went into Mrs. Hannum's AP English class, I didn't know that I was going to be devastated by what happened. She refused to give me an A for my flowery, wordy writing. I thought that's how you became a good writer. You wrote in flowery sentences with a lot of words and a lot of big words. No, that's how you become a terrible writer who thinks he's a good writer. That's how you become a pretentious jerk who thinks he's good but is actually terrible. You're like those people on American Idol whose friends have all told them they're great singers and who are convinced they're going to have a career in music, but they're terrible. Well, that's you and that's me. And my teacher was explaining to me that the key to good writing is being concise. Mercilessly eliminate every unnecessary word with a hatchet, because those unnecessary words are making your writing go like molasses. Every unnecessary word in that sentence is slowing it down and making it inelegant. You want your writing to be elegant. You want it to flow beautifully. You want the meter to, you want every aspect of it to be beautiful. Now, you're not going to get to that point right away, but you need to be aware that that's what you're striving for. And the key obstacle to elegance in your writing is too many words. Words you don't need. Every single word that is not performing a function for you in conveying your ideas is to be rooted out. We will have no dead wood in these sentences. No words that are not carrying their weight should be retained. And she would mercilessly mark up my papers. And I thought, what a bloody outrage. I'm Tom Woods. I'm entitled to an A. Doesn't she know that? Terrible, terrible. But she would have us rewrite them and rewrite them and rewrite them until they became good. And the process of rewriting and rewriting and rewriting until I mercilessly got rid of every unnecessary word helped me to become a better writer. That was the key step right there, was having a coach who would guide the writing process for me, give me good, valuable feedback, and have me just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. Now, although there are some rules for being a good writer is not a matter of memorizing rules and implementing them. So when you're second grade or, I don't know, maybe fourth grade teacher was telling you, get rid of the passive voice in your papers. That's terrible advice. Sometimes you want the passive voice. Sometimes you don't want the active voice. It depends on what is called for in that particular situation. So forget about these rules or, oh gosh, my own kids have endured this. Put an adjective in front of every noun. What? That's terrible. Of course you don't want an adjective in front of every noun. I mean, and I understand why they're doing that. That's not a stupid exercise. It's to get the kids used to using these different parts of speech. But my gosh, if they observe these rules consistently, they would be the worst writers in the history of the world. So there are some rules, some grammatical rules, some rules about style, but I wouldn't be so hung up on those rules. The same way that when I look at people who do public speaking coaching, which I may do that at some point, as I think I may have said that in the Workaholic episode, either that or I was just thinking it, and now I'm revealing something that I wasn't supposed to say yet. But in 2016, I am actually thinking of doing something like that, getting an online community together of people who want to improve as public speakers or who want to start podcasts and want to improve as interviewers. And we'll all sit around like in a Google Hangout or whatever and critique each other's work and grow as speakers and grow as communicators. I'd like to do that. But when I look at courses in this, it's all things like, you know, about maintaining eye contact or making this kind of gesture instead of that kind of gesture. And they're trying to reduce it to a mechanical formula and turn you into a robot. And that's no good for public speaking, and it's not any better for writing. Now, a few little tips I would also offer. Using big words is not the key to making you a better writer. What you want to use is the right word, the word that conveys the precise shade of meaning you're going for. But not the biggest word you can find, because that often just makes you look like a pretentious jerk. You don't want that. Like, never use the word prevaricate. That's a stupid word. Just say the person lied. Don't say the person prevaricated, because that's such a dumb word that what you're really saying is, hey, everybody, look at me and my vocabulary. That should not be what your writing conveys to people. You should be looking for just the right word. And indeed, sometimes I realize that in my writing, from time to time, I use a word that a lot of people might not know. But I have the sense that people don't feel when they read my writing that I'm just showing off my vocabulary. I think people look at my writing and the writing of people who are of comparable skill level and say, okay, maybe I should know this word because it's being used here. And maybe I should just know it. Maybe I should look it up. Maybe the problem is with me. So in other words, people don't say, ah, there's that Woods, you know, showing off his vocabulary again. I'm just trying to find the word that conveys what I'm trying to say. That's what you should be doing. Or using words like utilize. Like that's a word that you see on resumes a lot. You know, I have utilized my skills. No. Utilize should be banned. Banned. Never, ever use utilize. Use. The word use is fine. There's nothing wrong with use. Utilize tells me, okay, here we go. The guy is giving me the mission statement of his life. Get me out of here. No, utilize, take it out. Or eschew. Really, eschew? You're really going to use that word? Come on now. That's a terrible word. That's a word you learned in eighth grade, and you've been waiting to use it on people. It's a terrible word. Like, eventually you get the instinct for terrible words. Those are a few of them. Now, there are times when you have to know when to disregard the rules. Now, I'm a stickler when it comes to grammar, when it comes to spelling, all those things. I'm a stickler. But at the same time, I also realize that some rules have to be broken because they would make you sound like a fool if you used them and applied them consistently. I see people who twist themselves into pretzels to try to avoid ending a sentence with a preposition. Don't do that to yourself. Sometimes you have to end it with a preposition. Like, look, I don't know what that show was all about, period. Nothing wrong with that, because that's how people talk. There's nothing wrong with that sentence. I don't know what that show is all about, period. I don't know the subject about which that show is. Like, what do you, what? Don't do that. Or, I mean, sometimes you can end a sentence with of, with about. It's okay. Well, I suppose of, you'd probably have to have a really good reason to end a sentence with of. But by and large, it's okay to end a sentence with a preposition if not ending it with a preposition would make the sentence into a literary atrocity. You know, there are worse things than ending sentences with prepositions, and that is mangling the English language, taking what might have been an elegant sentence and making it into a monstrosity. That's worse than ending your sentence with a preposition. Likewise, splitting an infinitive like to talk, to drink, to breathe. You're not supposed to put any words between the to and the verb. To quickly go. You're supposed to say to go quickly. Well, all right, well, that's generally a sound rule because it does sound better. It is more elegant to avoid splitting an infinitive. But sometimes you have to split that infinitive because it would sound absurd and awkward to render your thought any other way. So just know that sometimes you set aside these rules. But if you want the best advice for becoming a better writer, it is this: practice. Just keep doing it. But not only practice, practice while imposing on yourself a strict word limit. Say to yourself, I'm going to start a blog, and on that blog, I'm going to post items in which I will use no more than 200 words or 150 words or whatever limit is necessary to force you to confront your own wordiness. And when you have a word limit like that, it forces you to go through your writing and say, is this word carrying its weight? Or can I afford to expunge it? That's what you need to be. These words, these excess words, are your mortal enemy. They're dragging your writing down, and you need to confront them in a daily battle. Every day you write your 150 to 200 words on something, and you'll have so many things you want to say and so little space in which to say it that you will find yourself going to war with these words. You will root them out. They're going to be camouflaged in your sentences. They're going to be camouflaged as useful words, and you're going to realize, wait a minute, I can do without this word, or I can express this thought more concisely. That is key. Just doing it over and over and over again and forcing yourself to limit that word count while at the same time feeding your writing brain with specimens of good writing regularly, again and again. Find somebody you know to be a good writer whose writing you enjoy reading and read everything you can get your hands on by that person while also keeping up your regimen of practice. And it will come to you. Your skill as a writer will develop. There's no question about it if you follow this advice. Good luck. Now, we've just done probably 200 and something episodes, 240, somewhere in that vicinity this year, 2014. I've enjoyed doing it. I intend to keep on doing it. And I hope you guys will do me a favor by promoting the show. Just link to tomwoods.com. Let a friend know about it. Any libertarian you know who could use a daily dose of sanity, you know, a daily dose of additional knowledge, additional, well, debating fuel, really, to help you to win debates, to understand things better, send them over to tomwoods.com. Urge them to subscribe on iTunes. The show is free, of course. Next year, actually, I've got another free thing for you guys, another free ebook. It's called 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered. That's coming next year. So I'm trying to produce as much content that's useful and beneficial to you guys as I can. And I hope you guys will help me spread the word about tomwoods.com and the show. Thanks for a great year, everybody. Thanks for your great guest suggestions, for listening in, for all the downloads of the show. I sure appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to coming back January 5th, 2015, for another year of The Tom Woods Show. Thanks so much for the support, everybody. Show notes at tomwoods.com/311, and we'll see you next year.
The Tom Woods Show.